Welcome to God First with Brian C. Thomas, a program committed to encouraging you to put God first while viewing life through the window of the Bible. Now, in honor of the one and only true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, let's join Brian C. Thomas for today's message.
The destruction of Babylon, detailed in chapters 17 and 18 of Revelation, will rid the world of the major evils that have plagued it for nearly 5,000 years. The religious Babylon will be destroyed near the middle of the tribulation. We saw that last week in chapter 17. And on the other hand, commercial and governmental Babylon will be destroyed at the end of the tribulation. We will see that here in chapter 18. Some Bible scholars believe the events of chapters 17 and 18 are the same, but I believe they are not, for the following reasons. First, we will see as we come to verse 1 of chapter 18 that the text tells us after these things, which indicates events in chapter 18 take place only after events in chapter 17 have been fulfilled. We will also see in verse 1, I saw another angel coming down from heaven. Verse 1 of chapter 17, on the other hand, speaks of one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came. So the events of chapter 17 were introduced by this angel, but the angel in chapter 18 appears to be a different one. We also see the names are different. We find Babylon the Great in chapter 18, whereas we see the term Mystery Babylon the Great in chapter 17. Babylon in chapter 17 will be destroyed by the kings of the earth, but the Babylon of chapter 18 will be destroyed by the judgments of God. And then it tells us in the scriptures that the kings rejoice upon destroying the Babylon of chapter 17, but the kings and merchants weep upon the destruction of Babylon in chapter 18. So I believe when we come to chapter 18, we are seeing the destruction of commercial Babylon, whereas in chapter 17, we see the destruction of the false religion of Babylon. So we're going to look today again at chapter 18. So please turn your Bibles there with me. We will begin with verse 1. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for this time of Bible fellowship, Lord, where we come to hear a word from you. It is my prayer, Holy Spirit, that you will guide our hearts, guide our minds, guide our speech, Lord, so that all things that are spoken, that it be nothing but sound doctrine. And may you be honored and glorified in all things, in your name, Jesus. Amen. Revelation chapter 18, verse 1 tells us, after these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. So as I said in the opening, whether another angel is one of the seven who had the seven bowls, we are not told. But it seems to be not of the seven, since his great authority illuminates, it lights the earth. Now, I think we must warn here not to think that this is Jesus Christ, because the Bible does tell us that when our Lord comes, his glory will fill the earth. It will illuminate the earth. But this here is not Jesus Christ coming. This is another angel. And then verse 2 of Revelation 18 says, and he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. So what we see is this angel is loudly proclaiming the fall of Babylon. Again, the commercial and governmental capital of the world during the tribulation. And it says it's going to become a habitation for unclean spirits, foul birds. So the question is, where is this city located? And there are a few different theories among scholars. Some say it is in Rome, and we've talked about that in past weeks. Some even say New York City, which I do not hold to that view at all. And then there are some that say Babylon, which would be the literal interpretation. And I lean towards it being literal Babylon, the city that we are looking at. So concerning that theory of Babylon, this location, it does not exist today. So that means it must be rebuilt at some point in the future prior to its falling. Now, there are some prophecies concerning its destruction that seem to not have yet been fulfilled. When we look at the book of Isaiah, chapters 13 and 14, when we look at Jeremiah, chapters 50 and 51, they describe its destruction as the day of the Lord. And these four chapters reveal a double reference, because what we find here is that they refer to the overthrow of Babylon, the enemy of Israel, in the 70th year of Israel's captivity. But since Babylon is the headwaters of the world's governmental, commercial, and religious systems in opposition to God, the second reference in these prophecies is its destruction in the day of the Lord. That is during the 7-year tribulation. So secondly, in consideration of this being literal Babylon, the ruins of Babylon have been used to build other cities, which would be contrary to Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 26. So turn your Bibles there with me to Jeremiah 51, verse 26. And we find the text, "They shall not take from you a stone for a corner, nor a stone for a foundation, but you shall be desolate forever, says the Lord." History tells us that at least six cities have been built with ruins from Babylon, including Baghdad, which is 50 miles to the north. Thirdly, concerning this being literal Babylon, the prophets Jeremiah and Isaiah stated Babylon would be suddenly destroyed. In Jeremiah 51, verse 8, "Babylon has suddenly fallen and been destroyed. Wail for her, take balm for her pain. Perhaps she may be healed." And then turn over to Isaiah chapter 13, and we find similar texts in verse 19. "And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldeans' pride, will be as when God overthrows Sodom and Gomorrah." This destruction has never happened. We know that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of such a high level of sexual immorality. And folks, the things that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for are things that our nation is now celebrating. And if we do not repent, if we do not turn back to God, then we will face the same outcome, the same judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah. So we need to repent of these things that we are celebrating that are contrary to the words of our Almighty Lord. Fourthly, concerning this being literal Babylon, Isaiah 13:20 declares this city will never be inhabited again. That text tells us it will never be inhabited, nor will it be settled from generation to generation. Nor will the Arabian pitch tents there, nor will the shepherds make their sheepfolds there. Well, history shows that this has not been the case. As recent as 1898, there were 10,000 people that inhabited a nearby suburb by the name of Hela. And we know that ancient Babylon has become a major tourist attraction, and Saddam Hussein spent over $1 billion in an attempt to rebuild the city. And so with the richness of oil that we find in Iraq, Babylon could be quickly rebuilt. Because there are some who are skeptical because they say, well, it doesn't even exist. How could it be literal Babylon? But it can come very quickly due to the richness, the abundance of resources in that area. And so the angel declares that the city's destruction, and it will be inhabited by demonic spirits and unclean and hated birds. And as I look at our society today, I feel that we are already having an infiltration of unclean demonic spirits, because I see people who have had good relationships, great relationships, husbands and wives and brothers and sisters and fathers and sons and mothers and daughters. I see people who have had wonderful relationships for decades, and all of a sudden things are happening that is causing division, that is causing hatred, that is severing those relationships. And I say these are due to these spirits that are coming upon the world. The Bible says that in the last days that the love of many shall grow cold. And we see that happening today between loved ones. And it is my prayer that we understand, folks, that we are not battling each other as human beings. We are not battling the flesh. The Bible tells us that we battle against principalities, not against flesh and blood. So we need to recognize the deception and the tricks of the real enemy, which is Satan, and transcend those things so that we continue to have love and harmony between one another. But the Bible says that in these latter days, in the tribulation, we are going to see an infiltration of these wicked spirits, these dark, unclean spirits that are going to come upon this area of Babylon. So as we move on to verse 3 of Revelation 18, it says, "For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury." Many nations and leaders of nations will partake in the idolatry and the immorality of this city during the tribulation, and many will become rich through its commerce, which again, I think implies an abundance of oil. The next verse says, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive of her plagues." So the Lord's plea is to leave the immorality of Babylon. But you may ask the question, you say, well, if we as the church, if we are raptured to heaven, we're not here during this time of tribulation, who is our Lord talking to? Who are these people that he's saying, come out of her, come out of this city? Well, I think it is very likely that this is tribulation saints, those who receive Jesus Christ after the rapture. But I will say it is not clear as to why they would be in this city. But for whatever reason, our Lord is saying, come out from her. It could also be Israelites who have not yet recognized Christ as the Messiah. But our Lord God is saying, come out, just as he called Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah before its destruction. The people are warned that they too will be judged if they participate in the sins of Babylon. And we see once again a display of our Lord's great long-suffering mercy. Verse 5 says, "For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities." So this verse tells us of the magnitude of sins in Babylon. God will bring justice. And God is going to bring justice to our nation and throughout the world if we do not repent, if we do not turn back to him and stop celebrating wickedness, stop celebrating things that he calls an abomination, stop celebrating the perceived right to take the life of an unborn child. As God says, he hates hands that shed innocent blood. And that is what we are doing here in our land. There are people, even who profess to be Christians, who are going along with this wickedness, but God is going to bring about justice if we do not repent. Verse 6, "Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her." So this is a call that Babylon is going to experience a double portion of judgment in comparison to her rebellion against God. Verse 7 says, "In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously in the same measure, give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as a queen and am no widow, and I will not see sorrow. We see here what we saw in the Old Testament, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Babylon not only is going to be very sinful, but it's going to boast of its sin, but the just punishment will come. And I see people today boasting in sin. It amazes me as I remember to the days in which I was a single man in dating young ladies, young women. There were multiple occasions in which these young women would actually boast to me about their sexual exploits. So what I mean is they would be proud and they would brag and boast about sexual encounters that they had with other men before they met me. Now, if you're as dumbfounded as I was at the time as to why is it that if they want to romantically get involved with me, why are they talking about others who they have been with intimately? I couldn't make sense of that as to why that would be. But that is what the Bible tells us, is that when we sin, when we embrace sin and we go against the ways of God, the Bible says that eventually our conscience becomes seared like a hot iron. And we become proud of wrongdoing, even to our own detriment, because you see, these young women were actually causing a major strike, not just the major strike, but the definitive strike against them, because I was not going to get involved with a woman who was going to boast, who was going to disrespect me by boasting of her sexual sins. But that is what the devil does. The devil causes us to bring harm to ourselves. And so we must not boast of our sin. Instead, we need to come out from our sins. We need to repent. And we see this boastfulness here in this city of Babylon.
You are listening to God First. If you believe in what we stand for at God First Bible Fellowship, would you consider partnering with us? Our God First Partners program is based on Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added on to you. For a recurring donation of $6.33 per month, you can help us share the message of placing God's commands first when viewing the issues of our culture. Please visit our website, godfirst.org, or write to us at God First Bible Fellowship, P.O. Box 266, Knightdale, North Carolina, 27545 for more information. Now, let's return to the conclusion of today's program.
Verse 8 says, therefore, her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. The judgment of Babylon will come quickly. It will come forcefully. Verses 9 and 10 says, the kings of the earth who committed fornication and live luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance, for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, the great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. This city of Babylon is going to serve as the seat of Satan, governmentally, religiously, and commercially during the tribulation. And the Bible says these people will stand and weep due to no longer being able to make money and live by gratifying the flesh in Babylon. It says in 1 hour, the judgment will come, signifying that it will come quickly. Because of their love for money and power, the merchants, the religionists, the governmental leaders of the day for centuries have tried to destroy the true prophets and apostles of God. And this should be a reminder to put our faith in our Lord, and not put our faith in stocks and bonds and houses and land in any ways of making money. As we continue to see in verses 11 through 13 of Revelation 18, and the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn. We see again weeping and mourning over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble, and cinnamon, and incense, fragrant oil, and frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots, and bodies and souls of men. We see once again the people mourning, they're weeping over the destruction of this wicked place because they will no longer be able to make money. And it makes me think about this time that we're living in today, in which we've recently seen the overturn of Roe versus Wade, which is something that for us as the church, we rejoice about because we are pro-life. We believe in the lives of the unborn, that they should be allowed to live no matter the circumstance. Even in the case of rape and incest, the lives of the unborn should live. And I'm troubled because I hear Christian leaders who say they are pro-life, but yet they say, well, abortion is wrong, but except for in the case of rape and incest. We have to understand that even in the case of rape and incest, that baby is going to still suffer during an abortion. It is not that baby's fault that it was conceived through wickedness. We must let God be the judge and determine who lives and who does not live. It is not for us to decide, because if you are willing to go in and say, well, it's okay for that baby because it was conceived in rape, it was conceived in incest, so you can go in with these forceps and rip that baby apart limb by limb and crush its skull, you are condoning wickedness. But as I look today at society and I see how the overturning of Roe versus Wade and those of us who are in the church, we celebrate that. But I see the world and its wickedness. I see women out in the streets and they're protesting, they're crying and they're just falling to pieces over the idea that they no longer have a constitutional right to kill an unborn child. Because it's wickedness, folks. I see the Planned Parenthood and they're upset because it reduces their profit margin when you do not allow them the right to take the life of an unborn child. And so we see people weeping today. We see people mourning. We see people in outrage because they cannot continue to participate in wickedness. We see the same thing is going to take place here during this Babylon city of darkness and evil. The collapse of this city is going to bring devastation to the world's economy. And note that even the bodies and souls of men will be affected. We hear that saying, selling your soul to the devil. And many have done that in entertainment. There are many accounts of people who say they were approached by an evil spirit. And that evil spirit told them they had what it takes if only they would give their soul to him, which is the devil. And many have done so that they can have riches, so that they can have fame, so that they can have notoriety. But the Bible said, what profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? And we see that taking place here during this time of the tribulation. Verse 14, the fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you. And all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. This is a good reminder of Matthew chapter 6, 19 and 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Is your heart for heaven? Is your heart for the Lord? That is where our treasure should be laid up, not getting caught up in the ways of this world. Verses 15 and 16, and the merchants of these things who become rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. So we see basically a repeat of verses 9 through 13, a sign of emphasis. Again, you see the weeping over the fact that they will no longer be able to gain wealth through the wickedness of this city. Revelation 18, 17 and 18. For in 1 hour, such great riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster, all who traveled by ship, sailors, and as many as trade on the sea stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what is like this great city? So we again see the torment of those whose way of making money is destroyed. They exalted the city, but they see its destruction. Next verse. They threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, that great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth. For in 1 hour, she is made desolate. The throwing of the dust on the head is an act of deep mourning due to this, again, loss of riches. This city will be destroyed quickly in 1 hour. Verse 20 says, rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. Heaven is told to rejoice. The saints are told to rejoice over this destruction as God has brought about justice concerning the persecution of his people. But the world is mourning. And that is why we as believers should always check ourselves. For when it comes to an issue, if you're on the side of the world, then you are not on the side of God. We, and as believers, the Bible says we are to be in the world, but not of the world. We should not love the things that the world loves. So when it comes to issues like abortion, and you are on the same side as what the Satanists are pushing for, like the Satanic Temple that said it is a religious right to sacrifice children through abortion. And if you claim to be a believer in Christ and you are agreeing with them, that lets you know you're not on God's side. Verse 21 and 22. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, thus with violence, the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found anymore. The sound of harpists, musicians, flutists and trumpeters shall not be heard in you anymore. No craftsman of any craft shall be found in you anymore. And the sound of a millstone shall not be heard in you anymore. This casting of this great millstone, it symbolizes the permanence, the suddenness of the destruction of Babylon. It will happen by an earthquake, by thunder, lightnings, plagues, death, mourning, famine, and fire. And the city will become desolate. I find it interesting that Dr. Charles Pack stated that he was told by his guide during the tour to this area in the Middle East that a thick black tar lies only 10 feet underground below this area of Babylon. This tar may be what aids in the fire that the scripture tells us is going to take place during this time of tribulation, because the text says shall not be found anymore, which coincides with the prophecies of Isaiah 13 and Jeremiah 50 and 51, which we looked at earlier, which foretell of its permanent destruction. And some even say the curse will not be lifted from Babylon even during the millennial kingdom of our Lord's reign on earth. Last two verses, verses 23 and 24. The light of a lamp shall not shine in you anymore, and the voice of the bridegroom and bride shall not be heard in you anymore. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, for by your sorcery all the nations were deceived, and in her was found the blood of prophets and saints and of all who were slain on the earth. We see the final destruction of Babylon here. It's going to be engulfed in darkness. And this final judgment will be for her slaughter of the prophets and of the saints. And just as God chose Jerusalem as his holy headquarters, we see that Satan is going to choose Babylon as his unholy headquarters. And many have been deceived, and many will be deceived by the sorcery of Satan, which is the use of supernatural power over others through the assistance of spirits, through the assistance of witchcraft. There's going to be a finality to this judgment upon Babylon. Folks, these are not uplifting type of passages when we look at the destruction. But we need to know this, because if we as believers in Christ, if we backslide, if we turn from the Lord, and for all who have never received Jesus Christ, who have rejected him, there is going to be a finality to judgment. But the thing about it, though, is we as people, we are created to be eternal. Babylon is going to be destroyed and will no longer exist. But for those who reject our Lord Jesus Christ, for those who turn away from him, you will have a final judgment, but you will continue to exist. You will continue to exist in eternal damnation. You will continue to exist in the lake of fire. You will continue to exist alongside Satan and the false prophet and the Antichrist and all the others throughout all the ages who have rejected Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So it is my plea today for all under the sound of my voice. If you've never received him, come to Jesus today. This is not a fairy tale. The Bible is real. It tells us, and we're going to see in the few weeks to come, of the great white throne judgment, in which all who have rejected Jesus Christ will find their final sentencing into the lake of fire. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your great and holy word. We thank you, Lord, for your justice. We thank you, Lord, for your judgment. We thank you, Lord, that we can put our rest, our trust, and our faith in you. That for all who come against us for being a follower of you, we can rest in the assurance, because you said they hated you first, so therefore they will hate us also. But you also said, Lord, that there are great rewards waiting in eternity for those of us who remain faithful, for those of us who do not grow weary, for those of us who continue the race all the way to the end. And so it is my prayer, Lord, that for any today who are weary, that you continue to strengthen, continue to encourage. And Lord, it is my prayer that all who have not received you, that they will take these words seriously, that there is a day of judgment that is coming. There's a day of judgment that is coming from the wickedness of Babylon, for the spirits that are driving those who are headed by Satan and his fallen angels that are driving people, influencing them to be in rebellion against you. So it is my prayer, Lord, that you would touch their minds, touch their hearts. Don't allow them to have peace. Don't allow them to have rest until they realize that they need to receive you as Lord and Savior. And so, Lord Jesus, as we depart from here today, we look forward to the day when you will come back for us, your people, and you will come to rule and reign for all of eternity. And we will give you praise, Lord. We will give you adoration. We will magnify your holy name for all of eternity, where there will be nothing but peace, nothing but joy, and where your glory will fill the entire earth. We thank you for these things, Lord, and we look forward to that day. And until then, we remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Bless your great nation of Israel. And until the only wise God, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen.
You've been listening to the Bible teacher, Brian C. Thomas, founder and president of God First. Brian and God First reserve all copyright protection under applicable law. Our copyright policy is available at our website, godfirst.org. Until next time, remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, bless God's great nation of Israel, and seek first the kingdom of God.